The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Consider yourself a home dreamer? One who watches the renovation programs on television? Are you just waiting for the right time to build or renovate your dream home? Welcome to Winning the Dream Home Race with Steve Clip Architect. Steve has spent 3 decades learning how to win at the dream home game. He has insights into the psychology of space that could strengthen your marriage and soothe your soul. He has an understanding of market forces and the methodologies of construction that could save you thousands of dollars, and he could make you a winner. Now, here's Steve Clip.
Hello, people. Welcome back. It's really cold outside today. This morning, well, cold for Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Cold, you know, it was 19 degrees this morning. So I'm going to talk about fireplaces. Custom Home Magazine, which is one of the big magazines in my field, had a slideshow on the internet of the fireplaces in their award-winning homes. Some of these were really fantastic. Some were insipid. When you've got a big, beautiful room, and here's this little puny box of a fireplace, that's insipid to me. Well, in this slideshow, though, they use the terms rock stars and massively stoned. Yeah, they've probably been reading the Rolling Stones magazine too much. But I agree with them. And the image that comes to my mind when you talk about fireplaces are just that. First of all, rock stars. To me, fireplaces should be of rock. And massively stoned. I can think of two absolutely incredible fireplaces that I've seen. And probably a lot of you have seen them as well. The two greatest fireplaces I've seen. The first one is in Old Faithful Lodge, the Old Faithful Inn at Yellowstone National Park. And that is, the Old Faithful Inn is 7 stories, the lobby is 7 stories tall. And this fireplace is built of massive stones. You know, each stone is the size of a coffee table or bigger and has to maybe the size of a desk. And they moved these back in the 1880s to create the Yellowstone Lodge. 1880s, 1920s. It's somewhere in there before we had this great equipment we have today. But it's 16 feet in diameter, would open on 4 sides. And you can imagine that the fire is built in there, the size of the wood that goes in those 6 foot, 8 foot logs all at one time. That's one truly incredible fireplace. And in fact, one of my fantasies looking at it was climbing that fireplace. But I'm probably getting too old for those type of fantasies. The other one is at the Grove Park Inn in Asheville, North Carolina. Again, this is an inn that was built back in the 1880s. And when they talk about massively stoned, This fireplace is massively stoned. Some of the stones are 10 feet long and 2 or 3 feet high. They are, you can't imagine how they picked these things up and got them in place. And so when you write about fireplaces as being rock stars and massively stoned, those are two that you really have to go and see them. In fact, the Grove Park Inn fireplace is so big that they actually have an elevator concealed within it. Okay. Now, in your home, let's talk about your dream home. The fireplace should be the star. Conceptually, when you think of a home, the concept that first comes to mind is the hearth. Home is where the hearth is, as much as where the heart is. And, you know, and all throughout history and prehistory, the fire has been the central focus of the home and needed to be. When you walk into your home, the biggest impact when you walk into your home should be the fireplace. You should see it. Well, this is my belief, is when you walk in, if you want your home to really say, this is home, you walk in and you see the fireplace. It should be big, bold, and in your face. Not meaning right there 5 feet in front of you, but you should enter the front doors, look through the foyer, look across the great room, and the biggest object in your vision should be the fireplace. I've done a few homes where same concept, except you walk in and you're forced to turn 90 degrees. So first you go in and you get a sense of the home. Maybe there's the staircase in front of you or something. Get a sense of the home, you turn 90 degrees, and you hit with the fireplace. And usually through a series of rooms, and then you see it. It's the focal point. And if you look at on my website, go to my website, Stephen Clip Architecture, and the third thing on there are portfolios. And show you about 10 of my houses. Well, the starting point for this show, or the picture that's up on this show, is the Snydow house on that, in those portfolios. Snydow house has just what I'm talking about. It's got, well, when you walk in the front door there, there is a strong axis that runs through the front porch, which is stone, the foyer, the great hall, center hall, the dining room, out glass doors to a porch, an open porch, capped by a massive stone fireplace. In this case, it's not the great room fireplace, but it's a massive stone fireplace that captures your view as soon as you step in the house. And you're looking at it from 80 feet away. That's a house where you get to the center hall, turn 90 degrees, and you're looking down the cross axes, capped by another massive stone fireplace in the great room. Again, we're using fireplaces as focal points and using them to draw the eye through the house. So let's talk about the great room fireplace. First, it should be big. As big as you can get it within reason. I was in a $2 million home recently in a great big great room. Great room was probably, this wasn't the house I designed. The great room was probably 20 by 40. and there was this little dinky fireplace. It was a prefab unit that was only 36 inches wide, and it looked like nothing in this great big room in this $2 million house. It's the wrong way to go. A fireplace should be big, and generally what I mean, what's comfortably big, is 48 inches wide and 36 to 40 inches high. You can build those out of masonry. That is the biggest you can get in a prefab fireplace. And the other concept of the fireplace in the great room is the fireplace is the focal point. Usually, nowadays, you've got a TV in there that's 60 inches, something like that. You always have a conflict that the fireplace and the TV are fighting for visual dominance. I believe that the fireplace should win out hands down, and the TV, even at 60 inches, is just this kind of object sitting there and insignificant in the visual effect of the room. First question, I raised it, is this great room fireplace, should it be prefab or should it be masonry? A lot of the fireplaces now are prefab because a prefab fireplace, you are talking in the range of $5,000 installed with mantle and everything. A masonry, you're probably talking $15,000. Now, if you're building a house that's close to $1 million, to have your focal point of the house be a grand masonry fireplace is money well spent. You want to grab people's attention. And the thing with the masonry fireplace is, first off, you can make them bigger. And big is great, especially if you're talking about a relatively big room. If you're talking about a room that's 20 by 20 or larger, then you need a big fireplace. And not just the box of the fireplace, but the overall thing. The box may be 4 feet wide. The overall fireplace needs to be at least 7 feet. And it needs to have height to it. It needs to be the dominating feature in the house. So my belief, when I talk to people, and we're talking about, essentially million-dollar homes, and typically in my homes, there'll be 3 to 5 fireplaces in the home. One of them, and I advocate the main fireplace in the main room, should be masonry. It's just a matter of quality feel. When you're paying $1 million for this thing, and the focal point, the heart of the house, is this fireplace, you don't want the impression to be you cheaped out. That you cheaped out, you put in a metal box and covered it with fake stone. And by the way, that's one of an indoor fireplace. If you're going to put up stone on an indoor fireplace, do not use fake stone. I can look at fake stone from 100 feet away and know it's fake. Most people, if they're standing 3 feet or 5 feet away from it, as you would with a fireplace, most people can look at it and know it's fake. The cost differential is not that great. And like I say, this is the focal point of your million-dollar home. If it looks cheap, then the whole house feels cheap. Okay, so I would use at least one masonry fireplace and make it the one that counts. The others may be prefab and metal. In fact, it's easier, much easier to do a prefab fireplace. And second question is, Should it be gas or wood burning? And that really comes down to who you are. I've known people, I used to have a neighbor whose hobby for 6 months out of the year was tending a fire. And he was retired, and that's what he did. He tended his fire. That's one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum is the people who never want to touch a piece of ash. If you do a wood fireplace, a wood-burning fire, you commit to 4 hours. It makes no sense to start a wood-burning fire unless you're going to be there for 4 hours sitting in front of it. In fact, it takes an hour almost for the fireplace to warm up and start to radiate off the, you know, the heat. So for the most part, I would say that you should have one wood burning fireplace in the house, and it should be in a place where you're going to either spend a lot of time and, you know, can easily commit to 4 hour fires, or you can spend, you can walk away from it. It doesn't matter. The heavy other one, any place where you want a fire that you want to turn on for 20 minutes while you're, you know, eating your breakfast, that should be gas. Plus, there's also this whole thing of, you know, actually burning wood is inefficient. It puts a lot of pollutants up in the air. So wood-burning fireplace is also not nearly as good for the environment as opposed to gas, which burns quite cleanly. The other question, just basic questions, is how do you find the fireplace you like? You can leave it up to your architect, and the architect will come up with fireplaces that are consistent with the house. But even with that, there's a broad range of aesthetics. And so how do you find a fireplace that you like? It's the same with everything. You look at pictures. The best thing to do, I think, is you just go to Google Images and you Google fireplaces, or it could be stone fireplaces or massive fireplaces. Could be massively stoned fireplaces. You Google or contemporary. But it's the same way you find anything, is you look at a bunch of pictures and you identify a couple that really appeal to you. Questions are, what stone do you use and how big are the stones? Here's the thing. Here's one of the things I've really found out, is that you can't leave it up to the stonemason to give you the fireplaces in your mind, unless you tell him exactly the fireplace that's in your mind. When we were doing our mountain house, and I looked at, of course, a huge number of pictures of fireplaces, and I found the fireplace that I wanted. It was in a book on Adirondack lodges. The fireplace was built 100 years ago up in the Adirondacks in this really beautiful house. The stones were really big and a little bit rounded, a little bit, really kind of eccentric and overly structural in their appearance. Well, even giving that image to the mason, picking a good mason who knows what he's doing and does beautiful work, I didn't quite get what I was going for. I got a massive fireplace, a beautiful fireplace, but not with the intrinsic massive stones that were on the fireplace in that picture. So that's the thing, is you find images of what you like. And it goes beyond just the stone, or it could be brick. Even in brick, there are 100 ways to lay brick. And H.H. Richardson used to do some really neat ones. Frank Lloyd Wright did some really neat fireplaces in brick. So you look and you find pictures. And the other one is you find, you know, the mantle you like. All of this is in pictures. Probably the nicest mantle that I've done, I just completed a house with a massive fireplace. Exactly as I talked about, that hits you in the face when you walk in the front door. Big, bold, and in your face. And this one's big. But the mantle for it, because we had 8x8 Douglas fir timbers or post framing the 8-foot wide wall of stone, I put a mantle on this fireplace that was an 8-inch high, 16-inch wide slab of Douglas fir. I had the front of it curved. I actually drew out on the slab of wood how to curve the front and how to, at the same time, because the opening to the fireplace was curved, I curved the bottom of it. And it is just a fantastic, again, massive piece of wood on top of this massive stone fireplace. And when we come back from break, I'll start talking about where you should put fireplaces and, you know, how many should be in your dream house.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk. Yeah! If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a single parent trying to create the balance between home life and work life? You may be running a successful business, but how are your relationships with your family and children? If you're one of the thousands of people trying to juggle it all, tune in to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood, hosted by Chris Efesiou. Chris is the portrait of the success story. Coming to the U.S. with no language skills, founding and growing several businesses while raising his daughter from age 7 to adulthood as a single dad. Listen every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
I have two houses I'm designing right now, and one's out for bid. The others should hopefully go out for bid next week for pricing. They both have 5 fireplaces in them. The one out for bid right now has, of course, the fireplace in the great room. Then it's got an incredible library that has a fireplace. There's a fireplace downstairs in the playroom. There's a wood stove in the sunroom, sitting room off the kitchen. And there's an outdoor fireplace on the screen porch. We're also going to put a fire pit out in the yard. So 5-6 fireplaces on that house. The other house I have in design right now has, again, 5 fireplaces. In this case, it's got 3 inside. It has really in the great room, big fireplace. Fronting that out on the outdoor room, there's a fireplace. There's one in his study. There's one in the master bedroom. And there's one on an upper deck in front of a hot tub. And just for the fun of it. So if you look at it, I think a house should have at least one fireplace. A house without a fireplace really doesn't say home. But if you can do it, you should have one as close to in every room as you can. Of course, there's some exceptions, but so where else do you put a fireplace? First one that jumps to mind is the master bedroom. The master bedroom, the fireplace in the master bedroom, it should be small and really in some sort of a sitting nook, a quiet place for two people to retreat to and, you know, spend contemplative time just quietly together or by yourself with a book. And so the fireplace in the master bedroom, well, first of all, it should be gas because it's definitely one you want to enjoy for 20 minutes and turn off, or enjoy for an hour and turn off, and you want no mess. So I usually put them in a sitting nook and with a wood surround. The bedroom really doesn't lend itself well to, you know, massive stones or brick, even for that matter. It's more wood surround and tile surrounds, a bit more sophisticated, a bit more quiet. If you're the other thing that, you know, the fireplace in the bedroom should be is it should be higher. It should be raised up enough so that you can see it from the bed without having the angle being cut off because the fireplace is so low. Or if it's in a little sitting nook, high enough so that, you know, your legs don't block it as you stretch your legs out on the ottoman towards the fireplace. Probably the nicest one I can think of, if you go to my website and you look at the Brown Bear Lodge, the little sitting nook in the master bedroom there, the fireplace in there is such a wonderful place for one or two people to sit and be cozy in front of a fire. So the master bedroom is one. Frankly, if it's just looking at the bed, you know, I don't think that's nearly as inviting, unless, of course, you're an invalid and the cheery fire, you know, really helps your lift your spirits. Next place is a study or library. This is a great place for a fireplace. And again, if it's a study, studies are relatively small. The fireplace should be relatively small, about 36 inch unit at best. In the master bedroom, I may even put a smaller one than that. As opposed to the bedroom, in the study or library, I would use stone or brick and give it a little bit more heft, make it more of a focal point in the room. If you think of a gentleman's study, the fireplace really is an integral part of that. On the flip side, one of the houses I'm doing now has a grand library. This is one of those big spaces. It's two stories tall with the, you know, two stories of books wrapping around it with a walkway up there and spiral staircase coming down. Okay. There you don't make it small. There you make it big and elegant. But study your library is a great place. I would probably put one in there before I put one in the master bedroom. A fireplace in the living room or formal parlor, you do it for looks, and it's almost never used. So if you put one in the living room, make it a gas fireplace, keep it in the scale of the room, put a typically a wood surround around it. But like I say, they're for show. They're almost never used. However, the flip side of that is the dining room. You know, dining rooms almost never have fireplaces. And imagine a dinner party on a cold winter night, and you're sitting in this dining room with a fire going. Think of how much more cozy that dinner party is. And here, the fire is really part of the ambiance, and so you don't want it to be too big of a focal point. You want it to, this is one of the cases where I'd say put the fireplace right down on the floor. The flames are just lightly flickering in the background. The heat is down where your feet are, down low. And you're not really looking at it, but it's part of the ambiance. It is really cool to have a fireplace in the dining room. It really makes your dinner more special, your dinner party. The next one where I'd, well, let's stay in the house for a little bit. On the other hand, I really don't think it's worth it to put fireplaces in playrooms or bonus rooms. You know, I have this big belief that if you put in a big TV, if you're going to sit down and watch a movie together, it should be in the great room. In the great room next to the kitchen, in front of the big fireplace. A playroom, someplace off to the side, is for play, is for the kids. Don't waste your time putting a fireplace in there. Put a big TV. That's in the playroom, the bonus room, the downstairs, basement thing, whatever. However, yes, put a fireplace in your kitchen. When you think about it, this is where the fireplace originally was in the house because they cooked on it. So from a historical point of view, from a point of view of just pure coolness, the kitchen is really, it's cool to have a fireplace in there. One of my big memories growing up was a friend's house that had this fireplace in the kitchen. And it was up high. When you sat at the stools at the kitchen counter, you really were looking pretty directly at it. And that's neat. I've got a couple of houses that have fireplaces in the kitchen. And so that's a cool one. Again, small. That's one that could be wood burning because you're in the kitchen for hours at a time. So you could actually start a wood-burning fire in there. You could even do some cooking on it. You know, cool thing. Okay, then other places I'd put a fireplace. Well, a screen porch or an open porch. In fact, most of the porches that I do nowadays have fireplaces on them. They are the new in cool accessory to a porch. One of the caveats, I started this thing talking about the custom home, you know, slideshow of fireplaces, and they showed this massive fireplace out on the screen, out on an open porch, looking out over the Wyoming countryside. The only problem was the fireplace was backed up to the house. So that first, when you're inside the house, you don't see it. And when you're outside the house, sitting in front of the fireplace, your back is to the view. When you're out on the porch, the fireplace should be on the far side of the porch. It should be such that you can sit there on a cool night, have a fire going that really warms things up and makes it cheerful, and still be looking out at the view. You came out on the porch to be outside. You don't want to look back at the side of the house. You want to look out to the view. The other really cool thing about that fireplace out on the porch is that you can see it from inside the house. I have my dining room at my house in Chapel Hill. Right outside that, I have a screen porch with a fireplace on it. For a dinner party, I'll start a fire out in that fireplace on the porch. And then there's a wall of glass between that and the dining room. So that as we're eating at the table, we're seeing this fireplace and we're seeing that fire. Also, that acts as a real draw later on to actually step out on the porch and, you know, have our after dinner conversation outside. So one of the big pluses of the outdoor fireplace is how you see it from inside the house. Okay, where else? The last place I put a fireplace or consider it is to do a fire pit or true outdoor fireplace. Here's the thing. If you do a fire pit, you have to be real careful about catching fire. Wood. And so in one neighborhood, one gated community I work, do a lot of work in, the requirement is if there's a fire pit, it has to be gas. So it doesn't send up sparks and ashes, and there's less danger of it catching fire around. Gas is great. If you do a gas fire pit, put a back wall on it. The easiest example, if you look at my website, the Colwick House actually has a fire pit on the porch, the screen porch, that has a back wall to it. That back wall heats up and reflects the heat back to you. Otherwise, in order to get any warmth out of a gas fire pit, you've got to get very close to it because all the heat dissipates. First of all, there's a lot less heat from gas, and it dissipates very easily. The really cool thing is if you can do a wood fire pit, you've got to have a screen and cover to go over it, you know, to protect ashes from flying. And more so than that, I do an outdoor fireplace. The difference is a fireplace has a back wall, usually side walls, that collect that protect the area behind it. They have a chimney box, and at the top of that, a spark arrestor, which means you've got systems in place that keep sparks from flying off and burning down the woods. Fire pits are really cool. The one thing I really miss at my mountain house is I don't have the opportunity to build an outdoor fire. And there are times, especially in the mountains, where you just want to get outside and build an outdoor fire. The problem is, I'm up on the side of the mountain, and when I look at the view, I'm three stories up in the air. So that doesn't lend itself to a fire pit. Those are the other locations that would have. And, you know, there's talk about what did you do? Well, let's go to break right now. When I get back, I'll answer some questions about contemporary fireplaces, wood stoves, and some of the really great ones that I've built when we come back from break.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Conservation starts with us. Learn about environmental concerns each week when you tune in to Our Wild World with host Ellie Weiss. Our show centers on Africa each week and what's being done to save our wildlife, ecology, and ourselves. However, we'll also discuss what's going on closer to home. And most importantly, we'll let you know what can be done in our own backyards by featuring guest experts and featuring your questions and answers. Listen every Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Now there's a new destination for video content, VoiceAmerica.tv, just like our radio channels and so much more. Voice America Variety, Health and Wellness, Business, Sports, Green Talk, Power Up Motorsports, and Seventh Wave Network now have their own video channel components. Plus, check out exclusive programming, including movies, music, educational courses, science and history, current events, and short features. High-definition, premier-quality programs available 24/7. VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Voice America Network proudly presents The Catherine Zox Show for women, men, children, and families. Catherine magically combines her compassion, experience, and talent to bring listeners a show that's upbeat, informative, and yes, a little sassy. Tune in every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern to The Catherine Zox Show on the Voice America channel.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's CLIPPARCH at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Question. What about these really cool contemporary fireplaces that you can buy? They are really cool contemporary fireplaces. Typically, they're gas, and they look very different. They're either just have stones in them, and the gas flames play on the stones, or there are others that are a long lineal line of gas just burning. In fact, you can get them up to 7 feet long of this lineal gas line. Or I've seen them where there's a halo of fire. And I've also seen them where it just looks like a picture on the wall. Well, the first thing about all these contemporary gas fireplaces is they're really expensive. Whereas for a decent prefab fireplace with gas logs in it, you might pay under $2,000. These prefab ones are two or three times the price. I mean, these fancy contemporary ones are two or three times the price. And so they're a lot of money for what you're buying. I'm not big on them. Talked about the main reason you have a fireplace in a room is because it speaks of home and it speaks of comfort. And these contemporary things don't really do that. They're show, but they don't give you the conceptual warmth and good feeling that burning logs give you. And so for that reason, you could do them. I've just did a home with this massive master bedroom, and all done very contemporary with this beautiful contemporary fireplace with just the gas line. Okay, but it's not my choice. It may even create the warmth, and especially with the fans, you know, I can blow out the warm air. It just doesn't feel cozy. So that's my take on the contemporary, you know, gas units. Another question. When should you use a wood stove? And what's the value of a wood stove versus a fireplace? Well, the answer is that if your main goal is warmth, use a wood stove. If your main goal, and especially if you're in a place where it really gets cold, a wood stove radiates heat on all sides. It also is very compact for what you get. Compact as far as the amount of wood you have to put into it to create warmth is small. Very efficient. So if your goal is to be warm, you use a wood stove. And the house I'm designing, in the room where the sunroom, that's also the main sitting room, they want warmth. And that's where we're putting a wood stove instead of a fireplace. If your main goal is to show, use a fireplace. And I would say that in the great room, today's houses, actually we seal up the houses so much that it's really easy to warm them. What you want is to show. And the show is a fireplace. The show is not a wood stove. A wood stove is function. And I wouldn't hesitate a moment to put it in for functional reasons. Now I want to talk about, if you go to my website and look at, go to the portfolio section, Stephen Clip Architecture Portfolio, touch a little bit on a couple of the houses there and the fireplaces in them. The first one to look at is the Hardy house. Hardy. The concept of this house, this is the ultimate fireplace house. The concept of this, it was a couple from England, and this is the English country house meets Frank Lloyd Wright. So it's an English country cottage done in prairie style. English country cottage, it's fireplaces all over the place. In fact, there are 5 fireplaces in that house. Well, in a lot of my houses. 3 of those fireplaces are visible from the street. And actually the chimney for the other 2 is also visible from the street. If you look at the outside of the house, the left end are following Frank Robie's, the Robie house by Frank Lloyd Wright. It's like 2 ships with these angled prows reaching towards the sea. Each of them has this very big articulated fireplace on the outside coming up. First one of those that you see is in his study. He has a genuine English country gentleman's study with a 2-sided fireplace in it that dominates the room. Second one of those in the back is in the master bedroom. And again, if this was an English country cottage, built in the 1800s, of course there'd be fireplaces in every room. And this is, again, a two-sided stone fireplace in the master bedroom that just warms it up. If you're sick, you have to spend time in bed. That fire going is really cheery and comfortable. Of course, there's the main fireplace in the main room. And it is very big, massive. And when you walk in the front door, you actually rotate 45 degrees and you look 60 feet through the room to this fireplace. That's the main draw point. And right outside that is an outdoor room with another fireplace on it. The outdoor room looking out over waterfalls and a three-tiered water feature. All really cool. Last fireplace in there is in the kitchen. If you look halfway through the pictures, there's pictures of the kitchen and the fireplace in there. It's the fireplace is the center of this kitchen sitting room, open on three sides, to the kitchen, to the sitting room, and also to the sunroom. And it really is the hearth at the home, you know, the heart of the house. On cold winter's day, having that fire going in there is just so cheerful. So the Hardy House is an ultimate fireplace house. Just as the English country cottage built back in the 1800s had to be an ultimate fireplace house. Flip side of that is the Colerick House. If you look at the Colerick House, this is a low country seaside cottage. But you walk in and it's a small house. It's 1,950 square feet. You walk in and a 12-foot high great room is dominated by a massive stone fireplace. And in fact, in those pictures, you can see that the TV is actually built into a niche above the fireplace with a picture on a lift that will come down and cover the TV when you're not watching it. But the inside is dominated by this massive stone fireplace. Wood burning, of course, actual stone, of course. And then on the backside of that, in the master bedroom, is a very cozy, small fireplace. That's just cozy and for two, and set up where you can sit up in bed, you know, and enjoy the fireplace directly in your line of sight. That's the house I talked about where you then look out on the screen porch. There's bowed screen porch that opens up to the water view. And you have the fire pit. Wood burns very hot. If you're doing wood, you have to have a chimney. You have to have a flue, a smoke box and a flue to capture the heat and the smoke and the flue. Gas burns relatively cool. That open fire pit out on the porch, it's got screen all around it, so there's nothing to capture the heat up high. Down below, it has a stone wall that backs it, and that reflects the heat back onto the porch. Neatest thing is when you're inside the house and you look out and you see the flames flickering in the fire pit out on the porch. During a party situation, that visual draws people out there just to sit by the fire pit and enjoy outdoors and on this beautiful waterfront setting. Other houses up there. Well, I've got to point out Brown Bear Lodge, which is my house in the mountains. And that is a big great room. And it is a big fireplace. That fireplace that you're looking at, it is 48 inches wide. It is 40 inches tall, the firebox. The hearth is one slab of stone. And all of the stones on there are big. It's hard to tell the scale because, you know, because it's a great big room. And a great big room requires a great big fireplace. What I wish, and I didn't quite get there, is I didn't quite get the basin to build, use as big of stones as I wanted. And, you know, next time I'll push even harder for big stones and the massively stoned appearance. If you look at the, in the master bedroom shot there, there's that cozy stone fireplace I talked about. Here we're up in the mountains. We're in a cabin. So even in the master bedroom, the fireplace should be stone. And it should be cozy and set up for two people. That one is gas. The one out in the great room is wood. You burn fires in there, and especially in the mountain cabin. The idea is you get together for the evening together, and you sit around a big fire. The one in the master bedroom is gas. I can come in there on a Friday evening, go into this cabin within a cabin of the master bedroom, turn on the fireplace, make it really cozy warm in just a few minutes, enjoy it, turn it off before I go to bed. Easy. Other houses in there. Oh, we're at the end. Oh, my. Anyway, look at my website. I'm really fascinated by fireplaces and believe that they are the most important visual element in the house. And if there's anything to focus on, that's it. If there's anything your guest will focus on, that's it. And, you know, home is where the hearth is. Let's see if I've got, you know, well, I will point out one more. If you look at Twersky House, at the other end of, you know, you've got the other end of the spectrum. And in the Twersky House, again, have this great beam. It's a contemporary house. And there, I've got a little fireplace in this great big great room. Same size as the great room in my mountain house. However, it's a small fireplace, but it becomes an object in the room and becomes special because it's not built into the wall. It's freestanding as an object in the room. And even in this smaller scale, it's the biggest object in there. So you can play point and counterpoint with things and also make them work. Anyway, be talking with you again next week, and go out there and find your perfect fireplace.
Thanks again for listening to Winning the Dream Home Race. Please join your host, Steve Klipp, again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We'll help you come one step closer to building or renovating your dream home.